This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Waistlock takedown by Austin. Austin all over Diesel.
Come on, Austin.
Undertaker,
what are you
and Vader
doing?
In the corner.
And Falk and Mankind.
Austin's been eliminated.
Austin, wait a minute.
He was in there for 34 minutes.
Yeah, the referees didn't see it.
Austin has been eliminated. Wait a minute. The Undertaker and Vader have both just been eliminated.
But Austin and Vader have
been eliminated. And Diesel been eliminated as well. And now it's over. No. No.
Wait a minute here.
Here is the winner of the 1995 Royal Rumble, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
He eliminated him. I didn't actually see Austin's feet hit the floor.
Austin eliminated The Undertaker and Vader and Bret Hart, but Austin went out. Bret Hart eliminated Stone Cold, and the referees didn't see it. And Bret Hart is not going to stand for it.
Maybe his feet didn't hit the floor, Ross.
I saw it. I'm sitting right here, King. I didn't even see the monitor.
And imagine Bret Hart.
I was looking at Terry.
Imagine Bucket. What's going on in his mind. Austin was eliminated. We saw it. We called it.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another Royal Rumble Rewind. This is Brad Welling, Managing Editor, of course, of Place to Be Nation, and I've got a great crew with me tonight. We have a special kind of rewind. I'll tell you all about that in a minute. Let me tell you who I have on the line first. First up, you can catch him on PTBN's Main Event. You can catch him on a number of different rewatches that we've done on the site throughout 2014 and into 2015. He is my personal copywriter for any type of PTB plays or shows, movies, things like that. Mr. Jordan Duncan. Jordan, how are you?
I'm great, Brad. You can also find me writing reviews for Christian Mingle, the movie. Coming soon.
The movie.
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, I'm glad, you know, you and I have we've met on some of these bigger show terms, but this is the first time we're going to have an intimate gathering of just a couple people here, so I'm looking forward to it. Next up, I have the creator, host. He just talked to Ken Shamrock, Rob Carpenter, Mr. Roger Morissette, the Cowboy of Place to Be Nation. Cowboy, how are you?
Doing great, and that's the creator and host of the Sports Lounge.
Yes.
So. Please tune in.
I said creator and host of PTBN. I didn't even get to the Sports Lounge part. I jumped ahead. Yes,
but doing great. We're taping this, about 5 minutes after the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl. So it's a happy household here, and the Cowboy is rip roaring, ready to go.
I was worried. Well, I wasn't. I didn't think that the Pats would lose, but I did have it in the back of my head because, you know, it was kind of forewarned that if they would lose and you would be on, that we would maybe have a different type of show. So I'm glad that we're all in a good mood. I hope you got to catch the trophy presentation. You don't get to do that all the time, so I always think that's a pretty big deal.
I get to do it pretty often, but not all the
yeah,
time. Yeah,
I'm a Lions fan. All right, don't talk about how okay. often that gets to get done.
It's been like, I don't know, 3 years or whatever. And it's, you know, they've been in this game for a while. I've been there as an Eagles fan. I've seen these defeats multiple times in a row. So, great. Well, we're happy to have you, Cowboy, and we'll circle back your way in a second. Let me introduce first the co-host of the Brad and Chad show, the king of Place to Be Nation and the Place to Be podcast, and my good personal friend, glad he's on, Mr. Justin Rosero, joining us tonight.
First of all, I prefer compadre. Second compadre. Of all, when you hear those peas popping, you know it's a Rewind series or a Brad and Chad special. So very excited to be here, Brad.
Thank you.
Whenever the boss summons me late on Sunday night, I'm there for him.
Thank you. Well, we're glad to have you, too. You know, you're kind of we know you've done the show. Everybody's listened to the Place to Be, cast of this one. So hopefully it's a little bit different, and we'll have some new angles going in. So, all right, well, that's a great four-man crew here, but we have one more special guest. It has been long asked for, and, you know, we like to deliver.
Begged
is a better word than asked. It has been, you know, I'm sure someone will tell me when the last episode had happened, but we have a female guest joining us tonight. I think it is appropriate, being that this show is in San Antonio and they at the Alamo Dome with cowboys and whatnot. And we have a cowboy on the line, and we also have Place to Be Nation's cowgirl, Katie, is on the line. Katie, thank you for sitting in tonight to listen to the four of us, and of course, you know, gathering your thoughts and your different interests on this Royal Rumble 1997. How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're thrilled, and I'm sure there are quite a few people out there that are also. So we're making history tonight, guys. So let me cue up what we're going to do here. It's the Royal Rumble 1997. Normally, we go through match by match, talk about themes, whatever. But you know what? I really like the rewatch series, and having Roger and Jordan and Justin on the line, but particularly Roger, who, you know, as you listen to the Raw shows, you get to experience him watching it for the first time. And I know for a fact he hasn't seen this show. So when we approached the idea of doing this, we said, well, why don't we do a rewatch? So we're going to do a live watch of this one, and we're going to start right on the Royal Rumble match. We
are going to hear him verbally abuse his wife on air instead of just off air. And
that's true.
To have it as outtakes, you know?
Usually, yes, there are outtakes, little Easter eggs hidden after the commercials. You got to listen to the PTBN bumpers all the way through.
It's completely taken out of context. Completely.
Right.
The cowgirl and I have a happy marriage.
I need the Wi-Fi.
She couldn't be luckier.
Get back in the fucking bathroom.
Handle the dogs. So, yes, and Roger, I'm glad that you have an opportunity, and we've given you this platform to be able to address these things. I feel that we owe you that. So,
and I appreciate that, because
more than welcome. So we are going to talk.
It's like Fox News on here, you know.
Justin furiously splices together quips after the show. He does more editing on the outtakes with you than he does on the rest of the show.
Well, that's true. That's not a lot.
It's true.
That's what friends are for. Sorry,
after 300. That's too funny. And Katie, please let me. They're all very good. They paint you in a wonderful light. There is nothing slanderous or anything towards your direction. So,
well, thank you.
All right, so we're going to skip ahead to 1 hour, 23 minutes, and 7 seconds. We are going to watch the Rumble match, and we will talk about the matches before that, during then, and we will take a break after that. At this mile marker, you're going to see a somebody with a very big We Love WWF sign, possibly papered, as most of the
possibly
crowd
Jay
was.
Henschy.
Probably Jay Henschy, so, yeah.
Although he was busy coaching the Packers today, so.
Those are some beautiful earrings Jay Henschy has on. That
I was going to say.
All right, so let me count you guys. We're all good, right? We're at 123.07 for everybody listening along. This is kind of like a riff tracks thing, Katie, if you're you know, just to bring you up on that. So, all right, ready? So 3, 2, 1. And the Fink has just finished announcing the rules.
Now, Katie, how familiar are you with the Royal Rumble? Do you understand how it works?
Yeah. I believe so. There's like 30 guys, two come out at a time kind of thing, right? No?
Yeah, pretty much dead on. Two start, and then I think in this year it was every minute and a half a new person comes in, and you get eliminated by being thrown out of the ring.
Right.
Over the top rope to the floor.
Got it.
And the winner gets a world title shot for WrestleMania, which is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Very big deal.
Huge.
So we got
like
Crush start.
NFC title game here.
So the New Day is walking out Crush to the ring here.
The Nation of Domination, led by Clarence Mason, who's like a Malcolm X kind of guy, wannabe hype man, I guess. Malcolm X hype man. But it was comprised of white men. Well, one African American, Farouk, and then the white Crush and the Hispanic Salvio Vega at this point, and then two white rappers. So that was what this militant group was. Yes.
Yes. And actually, in a great cue up there, Jordan, if you follow This Week in 90s Wrestling at Place to Be Nation by our good friend Charles at PWO, this week there's a piece in about PG-13, and that's pretty sure it's the guys here. They kind of did a similar gimmick in Memphis. And it wasn't the Nation of Domination. It was a little bit, I think it was even heavier. And they happen to be the guys that are out here, too.
I think we should have Katie do the steroid yes or no.
Okay, I agree.
Yes.
I think that's good.
Yes.
We don't have any superlatives like best mullet. You know. So
See, Ahmed, this is Ahmed Johnson, Katie.
Nice.
What are your impressions of him?
He is not in the Nation of Domination, for what it's worth.
He's against them.
He's against them.
He's a heated rival of them.
Oh, heated rival.
So this is a big deal that these guys were 1 and 2 here because they were embroiled in a
imagine that field. That they both draw number 1 and 2, so they're in the ring together.
You know.
Oh yes.
So Crush has really changed his look from the Raws that we've been watching.
Yeah, just a bit.
Slightly different. Yeah, so Crush,
it's like he had joined like the Latin Kings or something. In the,
yeah, well, he had gone to jail in real life.
Yeah, he had spent some time in jail.
On a weapons charge.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he was the guy that got popped with Biggie, and then he took the fall for him. So he went into jail on a weapons charge. And then he got out, and he came back with this look here. It's the jailbird Crush.
So that's but he actually went to jail.
In real life, yeah. And they didn't hide from it in the storyline here.
As Vince puts over how dangerous he is, very, very dangerous guy. So
yeah, he used to bust coconuts with his hands. Mm-hmm.
Does he still do the skull crusher thing?
No, I think he was doing like a heart punch here, right?
Yeah, if I don't think he won a match this entire year, so we never really got to see what he would have done.
So he's Dean Ambrose 97. That's his, his shtick.
Yeah, but I think you're right, Justin. I think he was at the using the heart punch. It's a very old school move.
Mm-hmm.
Now I do want to point.
What do you think of that move right there, Katie?
You're going to see a lot of this slowly trying to lift someone over when they're putting all.
Yeah,
their
one rule of the Rumble is each man has to get his prostate checked by another guy there real quickly.
Do you see what he's trying? He's trying to throw him over.
Right.
Top
analysis. Got to go over the top rope.
Thank you, Phil Sims.
we don't get a countdown clock on this one here.
Well, we do later. They there are some technical difficulties.
Okay.
That Vince kind of, you can tell he's getting pissed about because they can't see the clock. But so here is here is not Scott Hall.
Fake Razor Ramon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fake Razor
Katie
Ramon.
You said he looked familiar because you're thinking of the real one,
right?
Yes.
The sad thing is, even Wikipedia says Razor Ramon. Come on.
Well, he was Razor Ramon. I mean, that's
it's true.
It's a gimmick, and he's quickly gone.
Yeah, he's done.
We talked about him longer than he was in there.
Yeah.
Now, so this show too was in the Alamo Dome, and was supposed to be. They were hoping for about 70,000, and they ended up with 60,000. And like Brad referenced earlier, was heavily papered, so a lot of freebies handed out because at the time business was kind of shitty, and they tried to run a really big arena like this, even though business was down, banking on what our main event would be. But but it does have a pretty cool look. It's pretty cool for a Rumble to see it in a big dome like this.
Absolutely.
It's a heck of a wedgie, too.
Katie, how do you feel about Ahmed Johnson's trunks?
Now, it's worth pointing out that Ahmed has just eliminated himself because Farouk, who he wrestled earlier in the night, came down. In one of the stupider moments that we're going to see this evening. He's just,
maybe he just weighed the odds. He's like, I'm number two. I'm not going to win anyway. So I'm going
to
go get
he
Farouk.
Jumped over the top rope to go attack someone else, therefore eliminating
and
himself.
And now, Katie, that rule oscillates here, changes from year to year because
yes.
Some years, if you go over the top yourself, they let you get back in. Some years, so it's really just fits whatever they want the storyline to be. It's one of those
depends
rules.
Depends if somebody screws up or not.
Yeah.
What are your impressions of these guys, Katie, coming down now?
Who is that ass clown? I don't know. He looks kind of straight out the trailer park.
It's Phineas Godwin.
Yeah.
It's more like Phineas. Straight off the farm, right, I guess? But,
right. Yeah. It's in the farm.
Pig
farm. It's a farmer.
He's got Hillbilly Jim as his manager.
Yikes.
Would you wear that shirt? Anyone on the show?
No.
Only if I got the overalls.
Hey, overalls were really by 97 they were out, but
completely out, Brad. I mean, way out.
Yeah, they were way out. I did like that, Roger.
91-ish.
Yeah, I did like that you mentioned that on the. I was nodding along with you on the one Raw when you were breaking down when you wore overalls at the time. But you know, like it is sometimes in the more rural areas, it takes a couple years for trends to get to them. So
it's true. The overalls that I wore were a little different than what this guy has.
I was gonna say.
We did like the you know
the
green
one strap
plaid with the one strap down, saying jump, jump.
Well, yeah. Hillbilly Jim's got overalls with a jean jacket on too.
Yes, that's
so he's really going for it.
Oh, it's a little chilly.
Yeah.
January.
Crush is doing some work here.
Yeah, it's an interesting number one. One of the weirder number ones. Usually they have a kind of a higher level or more pro- well, not always, I guess, but Crush just seems like an odd choice.
It seems, you know, maybe they could have gone with Farouk since he and Ahmed wrestled earlier, and then I know that would be, you know, what are the really odds, obvious. Whatever, and then they kind of just, like, you know, brawl around again until maybe they double, you know, eliminate themselves too.
Phineas really going to town here.
You see the ferocity those punches are landing with, Katie? Oh, yeah. You know this guy?
Number five. This guy's pretty famous.
Yep, Stone Cold. So he had just broken out in 96. This is really where he started to really, really get hot now.
Really?
Yeah, he was the he was big deal.
Still a bad guy here.
Yeah,
yes.
Still, yep.
This is what led to his acting career?
Eventually, yes.
Yeah.
Look at that.
And his hatred of hillbillies as well.
Hey, I liked Condemned, or what was the one where he had to go in the, what was the one where he was on like the island and he had to kill all the other guys?
Yeah, that was
the
Condemned.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. It was better than
good
the Tooth
in the
Fairy.
Expendables. Or
he
the,
was.
The first or the second one, I forget which one he was in, but I think the first
rumor,
one, right?
The rumor is he's penciled in for Christian Mingle 2. Stone Cold Revenge.
He'd fit right in there.
Match me up with these midgets.
Correct. Austin 316 meets John 316.
Nice.
Phineas, look at him. He's on fire.
Oh,
yeah,
there's some nice clotheslines in there, too, with this guy.
This is before the kick part of the stunner, so that was the big...
was our first...
Crowd starts to get jazzed up with Stone Cold here as he...
Oh, there goes Phineas. That was a nice chuck over the rope there.
Yeah, he threw it hard.
Did you see that neck breaker kind of move Stone Cold did then? That's called the Stone Cold Stunner. That was his big finisher. Eerily similar to Randy Orton's RKO.
Right. Ooh, who's that?
It looks like Jose Canseco.
Bart Gunn. Katie's got a thing for the smoking guns now. We identified that.
Yeah, I've always kind of had a thing for Billy, which we talked about.
That's right.
The worst famous or rocker dropper ever. Yeah.
Well, that was basically a famouser he did.
Yeah.
May taught it to Billy.
Yeah.
Well, he's lost the mustache at this point.
Yeah, the Guns had actually just broken up at the end of 96. And there goes Bart. Okay. Sorry, Katie. Hearts are broken everywhere.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed him while he lasted there.
But at least the oil.
Add him to the spank bank.
At least the oil never had to come off his chest.
That is
true. You know. We're all lucky.
You can still wash it off later.
Stone Cold doing the push-ups here in a pretty famous sequence. Crowd starts to rally behind him.
Yeah, he's just waiting. He's the only guy in the ring, so he's got nothing to do.
That's when you know they're always serious behind a guy, too, when they do the whole he just keeps tossing guys as they come out kind of thing.
There's the
hey, we got our clock. There we go.
Now
our
the
countdown.
Clock finally.
Brad, just so you know, Katie was doing that about you when we were waiting for you to start this thing.
The clock.
Looking at the watch, yeah.
I know.
Looking at the fake watch.
I was getting blamed for your tardiness, Brad, just to be clear on that.
I banked on the awards presentation being a little bit longer.
Katie, do we know who this is?
No.
This is a real bad looking version of
Jake
Roberts.
He's got his snake and his gut with him tonight.
Well, see, we can't even say like to her, oh, big in the 80s, because that, you know, she wasn't a kid then, obviously. She wasn't born then. So it's, you know, most people, you say Jake the Snake, anyone who grew up like in the 80s would just recognize whether a wrestling fan or not. But to her, that's, might as well.
Yeah, at this
like,
point, he's well past his prime.
It's like Haystacks Calhoun for us, you know, in our parents.
Yeah, he used to be like a pretty good shape athlete. But as you can see here, I mean, he's not really.
His time is coming on.
Listen, how much longer does Jake hang around?
This is it, I think. I don't think he's even on after this.
I could not remember if he was. I did not think so. So
how far after this was Beyond the Mat done? It wasn't that long,
about
right?
I think it was the next couple years. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think 98, 99.
They filmed it in 98.
Yeah.
Yeah, in early 99.
He
so of course
he smokes crack during the movie, right?
Well, this is what you need to do. You need to show her the movie and listen to our live watch of that movie episode. Was that you, Jordan, or was that
Yeah, I was on that.
That was you, right?
That's a great plug there.
But he had all sorts of problems. But now he's doing well, apparently.
Well, other than the cancer, yeah, he's doing okay.
He's alive, yeah. Nobody, I mean, at least
no, he is. He's cleaned
yes,
up.
But yeah, but honestly, if you ask people in 1999 if you thought he'd still be alive 15 years later,
no
the
way.
Answer would be a resounding no.
And he just got dumped from the ring here. It was our choice
who are not alive. Yeah. Here comes the Bulldog.
Recognize him, hon? Davey Boy Smith.
Now, he's got kind of the same look that Bart Gunn had, Katie, so I don't know if you're into him as well, but...
How about the boots?
He's British as well, which, Kate, that's usually a big
oh, that's right. Yeah, she's into that. The Jake, one last note on him. Odd decision that he dumped the little vest that he wore throughout all the 96 at the very end of this run here. So maybe that's why they got rid of him. I don't know. Just started letting everything kind of hang out.
Roger, it is worth noting that you did Stone Cold face him in the finals of the 96 King of the Ring. So that was only 6-7 months before this.
I think I watched that match for Cowboy Goes to Class.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, Stone Cold won, correct?
Yep.
Am I right?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah.
We may have to rank Davey Boy's boot tassels as the worst tassels in the history of wrestling. Oof. It looks like it could be noodles. It could be spaghetti. I don't know what that
is. It's kind of weird how they're like strapped on, too.
The knee pads are pulled down to keep his tassels on, his boots.
What do you think of him trying to rip Austin's pants off here, Katie?
Do you have a favorite here yet, Katie? Anyone you think is either these guys primed to win, or you want to wait till guys come in later here to levy a decision?
I gotta wait. I have no idea.
No Stone Cold? You don't think he's running the table?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm just staring at this guy's pants.
Okay, here's our first Mexican wrestler of the night, Piroth. And I went ahead, and my normal running partner, Chad Campbell, of course, well-regarded amongst these. In the PTBN community, I asked him to give me some notes on each of these guys. So let me tell you about him. Piroth is a solid hand that worked upper mid-card.
Can we have Jordan do it in the voice, or is that that's not allowed? Is that prohibited?
I couldn't do that to him.
He put all the legwork in. You're right.
He was in CMLL before jumping to AAA, and he lost his mask to La Parca and has more size than usual for a lucha wrestler.
I can see that, yes.
Yeah.
So the deal here is WCW had a deal with another. Japan and Mexico, right? They had Conan's.
They had
CMLL. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so they had got all the really good guys, like Rey Mysterio, Psicosis, all the luchadors we know and love. And Vince kind of thought, oh, well, you know, maybe I should get in on this game. And so he made a deal with AAA, which didn't really have the same exact quality of guys, or at least weren't made available to them. Yeah, so. So it kind of came off as like a lame attempt to copy, and he just got kind of these handful of guys that were just not in any kind of shape and were more like legend level than like exciting high flyers. So
yeah.
And since they're in San Antonio, they decided to use them here for this show.
So
Yikes for this guy.
The Sultan here with the Sheik, of course, and he has this awesome pointed horned boots on. So,
Roger,
Roger, do you know who the Sultan is?
No clue.
Let's you take a look at him.
Yeah, once he hits the ring, let's take a look.
Oh, as in he's somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. See if you recognize him. That may be hard to get because he does not look anything like
no,
him.
No, body type, though.
You have a t-shirt of one of his relatives.
That's a hard one.
Oh, okay. So he's, No, Katie has the t-shirt. He's related to the Usos. He's got to be. So he's
sorry for that technicality on who owns the t-shirt.
I got it for her. He's
like that makes it better.
Is he Rikishi?
It is Rikishi. Very good.
That made it easy though.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't want you to get them all wrong, Roger. I mean, we want you, to feel good about yourself. As a
What can we tell Katie Rikishi's known for?
A fat ass.
Got a huge ass, and look—you can
shoving
see
it into other men's faces.
Yes,
yeah. So you know the Usos.
Yes,
that's their dad.
Oh, nice.
She likes the Usos due to the shirt, right, honey?
Yes, love them. Big fan.
What was your favorite Usos match, Katie?
Justin.
Big fan. It's like Scott with John Jones.
Sorry, Scott, if you're listening.
What is he wearing?
These are the Mexican guys wear these.
Yeah, so here's our second of four Mexicans. No mascaras.
It's like he's wearing his underwear outside of his trunks. Yeah. Bold fashion statement.
Mill is one of the four most famous Mexican wrestlers of all time, along with El Santo, Blue Demon, and Black Shadow. I should have had Roger guess those. We would have been here for 4 hours. More well-traveled than the others in the match, you know, he had some U.S. exposure, even some WCW exposure in 1990. Famously wrestled Cactus Jack, Clash 10. He's also been to Japan, so he's a pretty famous guy.
And he's known for being pretty hated, right?
Yeah, he guzzles matches, you know, doesn't give a lot of stuff, and it takes most of the offense.
Right there, it looked like he didn't go up with that belly to belly.
That was an awful, awful belly to belly.
He looks like he's pretty aged at this point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well aged.
And this is 18 years ago, and I mean, does he still wrestle? I mean, there's a good chance that he might. I don't really know.
I would say if he's still breathing, he probably is wrestling once or twice a year down there. So, of course, he, you know, easily picks the Sultan up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pierre
even though
Pierre
couldn't 5 seconds ago, yeah.
He's got a similar build to that.
All right, Katie, you know this guy, right?
Here's one Katie may know.
You know him.
Let's see.
Even though he's gingerly skipping to the ring.
From the begin, from the front.
Oh, yeah.
You know him?
Yes.
Do you know his name?
No.
Come on.
The Authority? I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, there you go. We'll count it.
That counts.
Triple H.
Triple H, there you go.
You are WWE's dream fan. Yeah, just WWE dream fan right there. Don't know shit about history. Don't give a fuck. You know Triple H is the Authority.
I know Triple H because...
You own an Uso shirt. right in their fucking wheelhouse. The Sheik going at it with the fans.
Now, Jordan, do you have any... as the Sultan and his pointed horn boots gets eliminated. Jordan, do you have any comments on Triple H's earlier match in the night with Goldust for the Intercontinental title?
Well, when you suggested that we don't rewatch the entire show and we just watch this match, I immediately shot you up to my favorite Place to Be Nation entity because it meant I would not have to watch that match again. It is really, really dull.
It's a long too.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Dull is worse than outright bad sometimes because...
Sure.
They don't do anything bad.
Almost be comical, yeah, you know, right. Like memorable in a bad way, but it's just so boring.
Yeah, I've thrown the show on to fall asleep a couple times over the last few weeks, and that I never make it through like the 2 minutes into that match.
Oh yeah, but I feel like that describes a lot of Triple H in this time period, 96, 97.
Well, especially with Goldust, they have a few like the whole year in all the matches were
like every pay-per-view, it seems like they're fighting each other.
And every Raw, if you go watch those Raws from 97, they fight like seven more times than you would have expected.
He loses to that. I remember watching a match where he lost to The Rock right around here.
That was at Final Four the next month.
The Rock did a high cross body off the top rope.
Yep.
I think that's what it's called.
That was So you watched that show, Roger. So that this is the one right before that one, the Final Four.
Okay, cool. So this is Owen Hart, Katie.
Okay.
He at this time was teammates with the Bulldog, but they kind of had this rivalry thing going. As you see there, Owen accidentally eliminates the Bulldog.
His tag team partner.
Acts like he didn't mean to do it. He was the wrestler who fell into the ring during the pay-per-view and passed away. I told you about that.
Right.
Yeah.
So, by the way, the one thing we did miss by not watching this whole show was the British Bulldog's infamous "I'm going to win the Royal Rumble tonight" because I'm bizarre promo.
Yeah. Oh, I'm bizarre.
I'm bizarre.
Did you guys? I really preferred the Bulldog with the braids. That was my favorite version of the Bulldog.
Oh, yeah, early 90s Bulldog,
braids.
We already had Crush, though, so we couldn't have two guys with braids.
True.
Yeah, they might get them locked up with each other, and that would have been embarrassing.
Speaking of Goldust,
there he is.
Yeah. Still around today. Keep tabs on guys that you would know from the product 18 years later that are still active, so...
When we were at the Royal Rumble last year, Katie, about two rows in front of us, we had an individual in full Goldust makeup.
That's
and
true.
He proceeded to in a big upset in the preliminary match, a big upset, lose the tag team titles to the 1,000-year-old New Age Outlaws.
So the guy spent 2 hours painting his face like a guy who lost in 7 minutes.
Yeah. And then he got eliminated from the Rumble like wicked quick too, you remember? Like you did, you just
all that for nothing.
Yeah. I mean, it's 4 hours worth of makeup for 5 minutes worth of action. You know.
He's gonna win the Royal Rumble. Yeah, the British Bulldog. I'm gonna lot of history in Royal Rumbles, and tonight I'm going to remake history by winning this night's Royal Rumble tonight because I'm bizarre.
This night's tonight.
Tonight's Royal Rumble. On this night, I shall win tonight.
Did he say because I'm bizarre?
Yeah, I'm bizarre. I don't. No one's ever figured out what the hell he meant.
he sounded like me trying to intro a podcast. He was just rambling on, and then all of a sudden just went, I'm bizarre. I should have done that tonight.
That's true, yes.
Goldust is rivaling Ahmed in the wedgie department tonight, yes. Too.
A lot of tight pants.
All right, so Cybernetico, for all you fans out there, longtime AAA mainstay.
I think it's Cybernetico.
For all you fans out there.
Cybernetico. That's like a hindsight or a Heinz Scrooge, Hin Scrooge thing, you know?
Okay.
Mr. Hin Scrooge.
He's a longtime AAA mainstay, never the top guy, but a key cog. And Chad says he's somewhat relatable to Chris Jericho in that regard. And he also lost his mask to La Parca, so that our count is at two for wrestlers that lost their mask in a wrestling match to a guy not on this show, but we would kind of know in La Parca.
And we know 100% that Chad looked none of this up, right? He knew it.
He did it right off the top of his head, no lie, in like 4 minutes for me on Friday afternoon. He is very talented, very talented.
It's written in blood on his wall.
Yeah. He didn't even have to think twice on it, so... Yeah.
Does anybody keep it? Like, what number is this guy here in the Rumble?
Yeah, I'm keeping it. So he was 15, so we're halfway.
So we're halfway through.
We're cruising. This has been a fast. We should watch every Rumble like this because it's flying by here.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I can't believe we're halfway through.
Well, it's definitely the 90 seconds this year for this one, so that's what's making it, I think, move a little bit, too. Think of all the time we've carved off.
Helmsley's cheated elimination twice.
It's the Wild Man, Mark Merrill, that goes Cybernetico.
Yeah.
Wait, or Cybernetico.
Turned in by his own countrymen.
And then goes Fearoff.
Fearoff goes out.
Yeah, there's that guy.
Here comes a big... This is a controversial decision here. Mascaris goes out and is eliminated, but he went through the middle rope and went to the top rope. So I think he's out, though,
because I remember in Mick Foley's book, when he was bitching about his match at Mascaris back in 1990, bitches about him again here, saying he refused to get thrown out, and the only way he would get eliminated is if he could eliminate himself.
Fair enough, then. And he didn't even eliminate himself right. He went out to the middle.
So this guy is like the Hulk Hogan of...
I think he's even worse than Hogan.
Yeah. He's even worse. Yeah, he's even worse.
Oh, there goes Triple H.
And that's because Triple H had beaten Goldust earlier in the night, so that's his retribution. I remember watching this thing live and being surprised that some of these, at the time, seemed like they could be contenders in this field or like were pretty big names like Bulldog and Triple H and some of these other guys, as we'll see, were getting eliminated like pretty quick.
Just getting bounced, yeah. Early.
It seemed like they didn't really use the talent the way they could have. And Mark Merrow entered before, by the way, with Sable, who's now Brock Lesnar's wife. Sable.
Yep, that is Brock. Yes. That's that's her.
That one?
Oh. Yeah. She's older than Brock Lesnar.
Yes, quite a bit. Yep.
Yeah, quite a bit. Here's the Latin Lover. So for you Latin Lover fans out there, he worked the upper mid-card in tag teams with Heavy Metal, who was on in the trios match that we did not watch.
Kicked a Goldust ass right there.
Did he just kick Goldust right in the butt?
Yep.
You know how guys come in and they spam their finishers? He came in and kicked him in the ass. So, not a very polished worker. But he stayed around on looks per Chad Campbell. So
what do you think, Katie? Is this guy worth being called the Latin Lover?
Not really my type. Kind of.
He's Playboy bunnies on his now.
He's got the Playboy bunny. Yeah.
She said his trunks looked like Depends.
Looks like he's wearing an old pair of Pumas too instead of wrestling boots.
So he was He's not a WWF wrestler, correct?
No, he's not.
No.
He was the last of our...
But no mask on him. Because
no mask.
He had already lost it to La Parca.
I was going to say, somewhere La Parca has it.
Lost his virginity to La Parca. That's how he became the Latin Lover.
So there goes
Goldust gone.
Goldust. Yeah, another name, like I said, was someone you would think maybe would hang on a little bit.
Owen getting... Owen would obviously have a pretty big 1997. And
so what do you think? I think... The Latin Lover looks like a less tough version of Gerardo. That's my take. No? Katie, do you know who Gerardo is?
No idea.
He's the manager of the Yankees.
Suave. You know that song?
I think you've sung that song.
Absolutely.
Oh, I thought this was a Celebrity Apprentice, Geraldo, but you were saying it wrong.
No, Gerardo.
I know, I got you. That was
Rico
for Jordan.
Suave, Gerardo.
Yes.
All right, here comes Farouk. Here comes Farouk. He dumps the Latin Lover so we can end that conversation.
All right. I want to thank Chad Campbell for his work, and he could not be with us tonight. And I,
man, these two
he's still
ahead.
Waiting on Stephen Graham to record something. So,
yeah. So here's Ahmed back with some...
Jesus Christ, that's
the biggest
2x4
in history.
What do you think of that?
And there goes Farouk. You into that, Katie?
What?
The wood. Getting hit with wood.
Was he hitting him now? I mean,
getting hit with a
strikes.
Giant piece of wood. Huh?
Giving him the wood.
And a guy in red Speedos.
Yes.
There's Ahmed in his trunks again.
Only real men wrestle.
And Speedos.
Meanwhile, Mark Marrow's been eliminated off camera, and we're down to one man in the ring again.
Did Owen go too? Did I miss that?
He must have.
They should
have.
They're
all gone. It's just Stone Cold again. Now's when you send someone in who like wants to kick his ass.
Like Savio Vega.
Nope.
No, that's not what I was thinking.
Well, they do have a feud history, though, at least.
That's right.
And they talk about it.
And he hadn't joined the Nation yet, by the way. I think I misspoke earlier. I think it was a couple weeks or a week
after.
Yeah,
you can tell by the outfit.
He's still happy-go-lucky Caribbean legend, yeah. Savio Vega.
Nice bright red colors.
And Vince, for what it's worth, recognizes and uses continuity here and talks about their feud in 1996 and the strap match.
Mm-hmm.
And they would never do that today. But
I like. I was always mesmerized by Savio's pants. They're like some kind of weird corduroy.
He's got the nice patch right on the left cheek.
Showing off the junk in the trunk.
And in the front with that red, red top.
Yep. And he's...
Katie, how do you feel about Stone Cold now? You think he's got a chance now that he seems to be hanging on?
I guess so. Looks pretty worn out, though.
Yeah. I'm about to throw my hat. I'm throwing my weight behind him, I think. I'm predicting Stone Cold Steve Austin wins the match.
He goes, Owen. He went out with Marrow. The thing about Austin, too, in these is like, whenever he's chucking these guys or beating the shit out of them, it's always like so fast and energetic, like just hard hitting, right. Which was cool to see. Like,
well,
he just pops
and they
up
set
and beats
the Owen.
The guys.
Yeah, and Owen was set up for this here, I think, too. That's why. Oh, no. I got the wrong guy. We got to wait a little bit. Jesse James, the Road Dog. You talked about that earlier, Roger. We got to see him out in Pittsburgh last year.
So we had
he looks like he's a little chunkier than I remember him. So he also must have lost some
pastier
weight
more. Too. Yeah, pastier.
He also has a David Silver's haircut from 90210, probably right around this season here.
So he's not with Billy yet, obviously, right? He's looked like he looks like they're trying to like redo the Honky Tonk Man or something.
Well, he was kind of like doing the Jeff Jarrett thing because he had been Jarrett's roadie. And then Jarrett left, and he came back and he said that Jarrett had stolen the song that he had sung and all this shit. So he's the real Double J here at this point.
Yeah,
true money feuds in professional wrestling are based off of people stealing other songs.
Yes,
but the Road, I mean, he was awesome, Katie, as in the New Age Outlaws when before 2014.
So Krause,
the late
he
night.
Did start wearing a different shirt
back
then,
when men
too.
Were men.
Yeah, like he had the hair, the kind of the cornrows, and he did that awesome intro. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, right? No one.
No, you did a good job. You had it right. That was very good.
Thanks,
Stone Cold, two sequences where he gets to go one-on-one and eliminate guys. So, Roger, I know you said he was your guy.
Yeah. That's a pretty cool part right there.
Yeah.
Stone Cold's reaction to the music hitting that belongs to... this guy.
The Hitman.
Yep. I always love that part where Stone Cold's waiting and then he hears Brett's music hit and that response, but then he's still ready to fight him. I thought that was a cool little character moment.
As a heel, how hard is it to not, they love to do chicken shit heels, but here's exactly what you do. You put over how great Brett is because you act shocked and like, oh shit. And then he comes out and fights him.
Yeah.
And it's continuing their, of course, they're from their first match they had at Survivor Series in 96.
Just a random note, there's a guy in about the third row wearing a red shirt that I really think might be Wade Boggs from the Boston Red Sox. I'm not sure, though.
Is he sexually harassing a female reporter?
I think he meant that Haas lady in the red shirt that keeps standing up and snapping pictures.
No, but he's sitting right near her.
Red shirt, and it's Boggs. It's possible.
It very well could be Wade.
Wade Boggs is the kind of guy, I mean, I would think he's into wrestling for sure.
Yeah, didn't he? Who did he induct? Who is he close with?
Oh, Mr. Perfect, yeah.
Mr. Perfect, yeah. I was hesitant.
You see the lady with the white collar, like the white collar there in the second row?
Right behind her?
I think he's right behind her.
I see the red shirt. We was going to get a better angle.
I think if it was Boggs, he would have been front and center, though.
Even in 90, was he still playing?
He's on the Devil Rays, right?
Or was he on the Yankees still? He was on the 96 World Series team for the Yankees. He might have still been there in 97. See, this is where I need Scott.
I should say we're contractually obligated to mention the Emmitt Smith jersey there. The guy had the blue Cowboys Emmitt Smith jersey. That was also for Scott. So when he listens to this in 2018, he can say, that's my man calling it out. So
look at that guy getting in the King's face.
Oh, the King, the Lawler just got called into the ring.
And he had been saying all night that he was going to be a guy, and they thought he was joking. And there he goes.
It's a good bump.
By the way,
behind him.
We should make one other note, too, for Roger's sake. Jim Ross calling this event with the cowboy hat on. This was the first time he ever wore the cowboy hat. Kept it ever since, and that was around.
Really?
Then they started calling him the JR stuff. So
that's something the cowboy and the cowgirl really get behind. Am I right, cowgirl?
That's why you're on this show, because we're all about synergy.
So, for Katie's sake, Bret Hart. Someone want to tell her about Bret Hart? Justin?
No takers.
What about him?
Anything?
He's probably the good guy of the promotion at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
he had been gone for most of 96, too.
Yeah.
And
big
just come
deal.
Back.
Big deal. But this is kind of a different time, like a transitional period, right? Because it's kind of transitioning from the Bret Hart types to the Stone Cold, more attitude-y guys.
That is on point.
Because I got really into it again about 99, and that was like full on attitude, if I remember right.
Speaking of the authority and guys main eventing WWE programming in 2015.
Wow.
Here comes Fake Diesel.
Fake Diesel.
Teammate of Fake Razor Ramon. Roger knew who this is with that clue from Brad.
Oh, is this Fake Diesel?
Yeah. Do you know who plays Fake Diesel?
Kane?
It is Kane.
Yeah, Kane. I thought so. But he looks like he's a lot bigger here than he is now. Am I right about that, or are these guys?
I mean, he is 18 years younger here, too. Yes, it was.
Yeah, he's pretty jacked, though.
Yeah.
He is.
But he, did Fake Diesel, like, have, like, a real run or something? Because he seems like he's more, like, more of an ass kicker than Fake Razor Ramon was.
When did they get rid of the Fake Diesel and Fake Razor Ramon?
I think it was shortly after this, too.
Yeah, they didn't last too long.
So what was the point of it? Were they supposed to be Diesel and Razor Ramon?
No, that was the gimmick.
Those guys
they admitted. So they left, and obviously Vince was like pissed off, and they started doing this weird angle because first they sued WCW because they said that Nash and Hall were doing like similar to what Diesel and Razor, like basically pretending they were Diesel and Razor invading WCW. So they sued them, and then they did this whole thing where Jim Ross said, oh, Diesel and Razor are coming back, and everyone got excited thinking Nash and Hall were returning. And then he ends up having these fakes come out, and he ended up like turning heel kind of for a couple of months and being like a dick. And not really managing them, but putting them over all the time, saying, why do you care? They're younger, better versions, and all this. It was just weird. I think they were just doing it to needle WCW, but
yeah, it's weird.
It went over really poorly.
But Kane ended out with a hell of a career. Is that guy. That's your namesake?
Oh, Terry. They made Kane. I was like, what?
apropos to today, being January 18th when we're recording this, actually was the night before. This was the 19th. And speaking of our piece that we have this week in 90s wrestling, on the day before the show on Shock on Saturday night, January 18th, Terry Funk had the kind of famous match with Stone Cold, and he went on kind of like a rant with picking fights with people, and what do you call Todd Pettengill's mother a whore, Vince McMahon a Yankee bastard, and Jim Ross an Okie bastard, and then Vince vowed to never use Funk in the WWF again, and that was a promise he did not keep.
Katie, this guy here was one of the biggest stars of the 1970s, actually.
Living
here we are, 1997.
Living legend, Terry Funk.
Yeah, he's still kicking around.
The Cowgirl's maiden name is Funk.
Yes.
So,
okay.
She could very well, this could be Uncle Terry, for all we know.
Killed Bret Hart, I apologize.
We need to pursue some leads here and start a...
Now, here's a face we may know.
That Rock.
Mm-hmm.
It is, before he was The Rock, right?
Yeah, he wasn't quite The Rock yet. He's still Rocky Maivia.
Maivia?
Mamma Mia?
You know, Katie, that he played linebacker for the University of Miami?
I did not know
that. I thought he was a D-tackle.
Was he?
Yeah.
I thought he was a linebacker. Either way, he played on the defense. He was good.
Scott, look this up for me.
Rocky Johnson.
Scott Criscolo, he'll figure it out. Yeah, I think he was a DT, but...
So he's kind of losing the floopy hair a little bit here that he had when he first debuted. He's shorn it slightly. He had just debuted in November. This is January, Katie, so he'd only been around for a couple months, The Rock.
They just released a toy of The Rock in that gear, and my kids want nothing to do with it. They think it's ridiculous, and they're a little disgusted that The Rock ever looked like that.
Look at that wedgie.
Yeah.
Now, Jordan, will the completist in you allow that to be okay, or do you still need to get it for the set?
Nah, I'm okay with it because they cost $20 a figure.
Yeah.
I'm not losing sleep over it. Now, when Fake Diesel comes out, though, I'll get that day one.
Sure, I mean, you have to.
Here comes Mankind.
D-tackle, Brad.
D-tackle, okay.
You're correct.
You're 2-1 tonight, Roger.
Yeah. What number are we at here, Brad? It could be in early 20s,
we
right?
Are,
yeah, we got
I think we're late 20s.
Oh, we got some real heavy hitters coming out here.
Four more to go after this.
Big deal.
There's even bigger guys coming out soon.
Thrown out of the ring, I think.
Oh.
Terry's on his way out right now, I'm guessing.
A lot of talent in there.
He looks like he shouldn't be wrestling at this point. There he goes.
Yeah.
But Uncle Terry. He's holding on, though.
Nah. But Fake Diesel's actually had a pretty good run in this, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it lasted more than a few seconds. And
better than his buddy.
People up and...
Yeah.
Fake Diesel ends up lasting 17 minutes and 49 seconds in the entire match. So
that's not bad.
It's good.
I like how Austin and Brett have pretty much not stopped beating each other up since.
Yeah,
Brett
I wanted to talk. You know, we talk about all their great matches and stuff, but this is kind of a little bit of a missed part of their feud, or not talked about, I guess, as much. To your point, Justin, they're pretty much going at it for 10, 15 minutes here.
And it's pretty significant, you know, with the result and things like that we'll see in a few minutes to their story. So
here comes another member of Katie's family, Flash Funk.
Yeah.
Flash.
Terry's brother.
Definitely look really good.
This guy seems like he's not going to... And he wasn't like a big star or anything, right, Flash Funk?
No, he had a really good run in ECW right before this.
Yeah.
A very good in-ring wrestler, but then they turned him into a pimp when he came here.
Yeah.
That was pretty much a gimmick, literally. He was a pimp.
He was well-regarded for work rate and wrestling ability.
Well, he was called Too Cold Scorpio then, too. I don't know if you know that name, Roger, or not.
That does sound familiar. No, that was a nice move. He took out Fake Diesel and Terry Funk with that. That was good.
He could do some pretty cool stuff, but his character was just so goofy that it didn't really matter.
And I don't think it was even the character as much as it was the outfit.
Yeah, the outfit.
Like
was...
a leisure suit.
Right.
It looks kind of like what Sable was wearing earlier, but it's blue.
Yeah, so if he just had, like, tights and was still even Flash Funk the Pimp, like, I don't think it would have been as bad, but this guy with the space suit, leather suit thing is not going anywhere.
Oh.
Terry Funk is taking an ass beating in this, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Every time you turn around. I mean, that's what he's good at, though, at this point, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was in the. He was about to embark on a big run in ECW.
Yeah.
Become the face of their promotion for a while there.
I love this guy.
Jeez.
Vader.
It's Vader time.
Vader time.
It's like a sumo wrestler.
He's Katie, you would be surprised. That guy in that package can do some pretty athletic stuff.
Yeah, had some fantastic. Just dominant when he was in WCW.
Now, is this the peak of Vader in WWF right around this time?
Yeah, I would say from like
four-way match, what you said was next, right? Because that was awesome. Yeah.
I'd say from SummerSlam 96 till SummerSlam 97 was like his best one-year stretch there.
Mm-hmm.
He had won his match earlier tonight in an upset.
Yes, against The Undertaker. Yep. After an urn shot from Paul Bearer, and 45 seconds later, Undertaker rolls himself in the ring and gets the Vader bomb, and then that's gets the pin. So
I remember being shocked when Vader beat him.
Yeah,
Who do you think's going to win now, Katie? We're almost at the end here. If you had to pick one,
I'm like Vader. He looks like Bane.
All right, we're going with Vader because he looks like Bane from Batman.
There you go.
Now, is he number 29, Brad? So is this number 30 coming?
We have two more to go. This
two
is
more. So this is number 29 here.
Oh, yeah. We couldn't forget Henry Godwin.
Oh, yeah.
Cousin of Phineas, who we saw earlier with the overalls. This is this.
It's like when it's toward the end and someone like that comes out, it's just like a collective groan from the crowd.
They're not giving Henry a big shot to win here.
It's surprising how big Henry Godwin was, though. I don't remember him being so, like, look at him standing next to Vader. He's a big dude.
Yeah, he's a big
just as big as Vader, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Katie, did you like the yellow shirt better than that green, that weird long sleeve green one that Phineas had on?
I gotta say, I do like the yellow shirt better, but the overalls are still pretty tight.
Mm-hmm. They're the same overalls.
I say, yeah, they just traded them.
Yeah, that's why they couldn't be in there at the same time.
Not a good tight. Yeah.
Are you into pig farmers in general?
Yeah, it's my thing, what can I say?
Okay.
Farmersonly.com, after Christian Mingle.
Nice.
How about Vader helmets?
Don't answer that.
That's a pretty significant question.
Don't answer that.
How about
Pence? I do like your pick of Vader, Ton, because I would go with him or Stone Cold.
Or the Funks. Don't forget, Brothers in the Rumble.
We got number 30 about to make their way
working
out.
Working together.
Too,
so. The Flash.
Flash Funk.
Flash and Terry. Brother teams
Terry's
do well.
Just punching at air there, you see? He was just punching at nothing.
Crowd's coming alive for number 30. Oh, it's Sabu.
Does that mean it's Undertaker? Because the lights went out?
It looks like it is, Roger. Very good.
And does this change your pick at all?
You said he lost to Vader earlier in the night?
He did.
He did.
Oof. Yeah, I think that changes my pick.
I'm angry.
I don't know. I don't like it when the number 30 guy wins. I think it's stupid, but
well, it makes sense.
I'm still going with
it. Makes sense though that the freshest guy would win. No,
no, I know, but it's it's cheesy.
Actually, there's only been like a couple of number 30s that won. We'll see if this is one of them.
Although Undertaker had a match already tonight, so technically Henry Godwin is the freshest guy in there.
That's true. Yeah.
At number 29.
It's a good point, Jordan.
Yes. So he's my pick. I'm going with the hog farmer to headline WrestleMania.
Although on
the flip side, though, hog farmers get up pretty early in the morning, so he's probably kind of tired.
Yes, he's probably the most tired, yes.
He had a tent to the pigs.
Well past his bedtime.
Had a tent to the swine earlier today.
I just watched a match recently where him and Triple H fought, and they had to roll around in them. The loser had to roll around in a hog pen.
The last.
Triple H.
Recently, yeah, recently. Like 6 months ago, the last Cowboy Goes to Class.
Check out the Cowboy Goes to Class at
Once a Year.
To Be Nation.
It's like WrestleMania. So Taker unloading with choke slams.
But
Austin, Vader.
No, the ring is pretty full right now. Now, Jordan, real quick, let me ask you, what are your thoughts on the Undertaker with the teardrop tattoo at this stage of his...
Yeah, I wondered who he'd murdered at that point to earn that tattoo.
It was just maybe a friend in his group that had long passed, but...
Yeah. I was thinking maybe, like, he was going to join the Nation of Domination or, you know, hook up with a gang of some kind. I was thinking as he came down, that shirt doesn't do him any favors. It just makes him look sloppy a little. You know, he looks disheveled. That's not what I would want if I had to deal with an Undertaker. I would want my Undertaker to be well kept. Wow.
There you go.
Flash Funk just got decimated there by your boy Vader. Yeah. So is this around the, when's Undertaker kind of turned from the dead guy to the biker? Because he looks like he's kind of in the middle right now.
That actually wouldn't be for a little while though.
Yeah. 3 years you got.
Yeah, 2000.
Yeah.
Still the dead guy.
Yeah, he does the dead guy for a while, but this is more like realistic dead guy phase now. He's out of the like zombie guy, dead phase. Yeah. Yeah, he's almost the emo goth Undertaker now.
Did you guys like the American Badass thing?
Yeah, I thought it was a good break.
I thought it was. I liked it a lot too. That's why I asked.
So, is this the most? I mean, taking Henry Godwin out, is there ever been a final group in a Rumble like this strong? I mean, you know, Rock obviously at this point was not much, but he would, and same with Diesel becoming Kane. So, I mean, is this looking at talent-wise, if Godwin goes, is, I mean, you got Undertaker, Bret Hart, Terry Funk, Vader, Steve Austin, The Rock, Mankind, McFoley, and Kane, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, you're, I mean, do you mean outside of Batista and Roman Reigns?
Yes.
Out that one?
Yeah, we'll take that one out of the play there.
All right. And, yeah, I mean, this is it's pretty star-studded.
Poor Uncle Terry.
Uncle Terry's hanging in.
Yeah, Uncle Terry's in way over his head here.
Yeah, this is one of those situations that's a lot more star-studded watching it now than it was at the time, though.
Not by much, though. Well, yeah, I guess Mankind
wasn't
really.
But what I'm saying
is
we watch it 2015 and know what some of these guys ended up doing.
But even at the time, you still have Taker, Vader, Brett, Austin, Funk. I mean, that's still a big five. Like, Austin was pretty well-regarded by this point as a star based on WCW and even here.
I would say Brett and Taker are two... Definitely one and two, though, in star power there right now.
Yeah, and Funk is probably three at this point.
Wow, really? Well, Austin, I would say Austin.
At the time?
Look at how they space things out. You know, with Owen and Davey Boy earlier, they kind of, I mean, I always thought back then that this is kind of a well-put-together Rumble. You know, got the two Austin sequences where he's going one-on-one with some jobbers to build them up, and then you got these big heavies in here at the end.
It moved pretty quick, too, you know. It seems like it slowed down now that everyone's in.
I think they had two AAA guys too many. Like, to me, that hurt. And it's stupid nitpicking to say two guys, but I thought otherwise the feel was actually pretty strong. But those four guys you knew had zero chance, so I would have maybe liked to see just two other anyone
just throw,
else.
Like, throw PG-13 in there to let Ahmed just toss him or something.
Right, something else. Like, those four of those guys were just complete waste. And there goes Godwin. So to me, this officially becomes the most star-studded.
2, 4, 6, 8 guys
and
left.
And the Rock, Rocky is not he's not on these other guys' level at this
not
point.
Not even close.
Like, oh, yeah, not yet.
Like, you're watching this, and you know he's not going to win.
Although, I mean, in 1 year, he goes from...
Right.
I mean, I don't want to spoil the 98 Rumble, but, you know, he is a pretty strong year to seeing where he ends up in the same event.
Yeah, by 1998, later. He is the Rock. Oh, that was
terrible.
There you go.
So there goes The Rock.
When he became The Rock, he stopped jumping toward the...
He looked a little more like Bruno Mars there than he did look like The Rock. You know?
Bruno Sammartino. I mean, it was a good showing for him, though. They left him in pretty long.
Oh, Terry.
Oh, man.
So despite Terry's antics the night before, he's still getting a pretty good 15-minute run here.
He's got do you like the... What do you think of the candy cane trunks on Uncle Terry, Katie?
I don't know. He just needs to get out of there.
Now, does he need to get out because you don't like him or you're worried for his safety at this
point? I'm worried
for
his safety. I feel like he has to go back to the nursing home at this point, you know? Aww.
There he goes.
There he goes. He listened to you and said...
Niece, I won't take any more punishment.
Big showing for Diesel here. I mean, into the end. They must have known they had bigger plans for him even outside of this gimmick at this point.
Yeah, you know, being the dentist before, and he's a good hand, so.
Isaac Yankum. Am I right about that?
That is correct.
So Mankind's out now. Him and Terry brawling on the floor.
The Undertaker dumped Mankind then, which is a little play off their feud in 96 and Austin saves Brett there by pulling Diesel off him for some reason.
Refs
My
are
least
all...
favorite Rumble spot ever.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
There goes Stone Cold.
Bret Hart was a piece of shit right there. Austin helped him out. Oh, Austin's going to get some revenge on someone.
There goes Taker and Vader.
Yeah. There goes Vader. Diesel. Third.
What a cheap way for Bret Hart to win.
A little chicanery here.
Yeah.
Oh, I called it. He got eliminated. I saw him get eliminated.
Yeah,
you saw
officials
him, but the referees did not, my friend.
They were tied up with Mankind and Terry Funk on the other side of the ring.
They don't go to the instant replay, huh?
No. So no, this would be
screen, that giant screen didn't work apparently. No.
So this would be the start of Brett.
All right,
this is where Brett starts to get really angry and whiny, and this is what set up Roger the Final Four match. Because if you notice, the guys in that match are the Final Four eliminated all by Austin, Brett, Taker, and Vader.
Yep,
illegally eliminated.
Yes. And so, now Jordan, would you say this is the worst referee you've seen in the last month, or?
Well, I mean, at least he didn't throw any flags and pick him up and immediately reverse his decision. I wouldn't say that much.
There you go. I mean, I do think we can say that this type of controversy did lead to sweeping change, because I'm pretty sure they added two more referees, so they had more than two idiots out there at one time.
That sounds how Del Rio loves the WWF.
Del Rio loves the WWF, yeah.
He does not.
So now Jordan, this would have been like if they would have ruled that Austin got legally thrown out and then reversed their decision and given
him. Yeah, exactly. Basically, what Bret Hart is doing now is what I was doing a couple weeks ago.
And that's Scott right there. JR is like Scott.
The same outfit, too, yeah.
JR, Scott, Chris Golo. Too bad. Sorry, pal. I remember watching this live. I had the same reaction Roger just had, because I was all in on the Stone Cold bandwagon and was so pissed off when Brett just chucked him like nothing and was thrilled.
It really was a clever way to end the match, too. It was pretty smart.
Well, I think it did feel shady at the time, though, too. It was like, this is how he gets his win. He cheats.
Particularly watching it, because I'm not listening to it right now. Like, what it looked like is Brett eliminates him, and then Austin goes in and just eliminates everybody for Brett. Right?
Yes. Well, except for Diesel. Brett tossed Diesel out. So the thing was, Austin screwed Vader, Taker, and Brett. Those are the three guys illegally eliminated.
See the replay here.
No ref looking. Was this Austin's first real big pay-per-view win?
Well, he had won King of the Ring. But that was still like a mid-card thing. This was his first main event level.
Right. I mean, you look at this match, Roger. He's in it for 45 minutes. They do two extended sequences where he's the only one in the ring. Like, it's a pretty big push. They kind of – I mean, what do you guys think from a Rumble match standpoint against all the other ones? If you had to rate them out of five, or where do you think this one would kind of fall on upper end? Like, good Rumble match, or – Jordan, what do you think?
I say a good ending, but I don't know if I'd say a good match overall. Kind of forgettable through the middle parts. Is five the best? 1 to 5.
Five is the best.
I'd put it right in the middle, at a 3. Okay. I did like the ending. I did dig the ending, and like Justin was saying, near the end there, we had a lot
of
stuff.
What do you think, Jeff Goldblum? There, thanks behind the king.
Justin, what would you rank this one?
Yeah, okay, I give halves. I'd say, 3.5, 4, halves. Around there. I mean, I really liked it. It moved quick. I don't know if that's because we were bullshitting throughout it or what, but it moved really fast. I thought it's actually one of the sneakier, for a time where you always hear that they were depleted talent-wise and they had to bring in these guys from AAA, I thought it was a sneaky, strong field. I didn't think they had too many bums outside of those four. Lawler, but even Lawler's still Lawler, and the Godwins. Was there really anyone else, real, real crappy that was in there? It was a pretty strong field, and you had, that strong star power at the end. It was a really good ending. Austin looked great throughout, and it was a lot of action. I mean, they had some dead spots, but every Rumble does, so I'd say it's in the upper half.
Now, and Roger, as we as we'll move into, we'll take a break in a second. Roger, how many out of five do you give this one?
You know, I haven't seen that many, honestly.
How about compared to 2014?
Oh, I mean, that was a lot better. This one was, I think, than 2014. I mean, I, you know, being like not the biggest Daniel Bryan guy, and I kind of like Batista. You were there, Brad. I took a bunch of shit for it. I thought the ending to that one was okay, but this was a much better match overall. Because you had in the 2014 one, CM Punk was in for a wicked long time, but he didn't really do anything. He kind of laid on the corner a lot. But Austin, in this one, he was in for the whole thing, and it seemed like he was like wrestling through the whole thing. So,
well, we've
this
learned
one was
since
better.
Then. So we've learned since then that Punk had a concussion, so that's why he was hanging out.
He had a staph infection.
Well, yeah, and thought he was concussed. But yes, to your point, Austin was very active there. And now, Katie, would you say this is the best Royal Rumble match you've watched in the last calendar year?
Yes, and the only one.
Did you enjoy it? Did it make you want to watch this concept again? If you're a wrestling fan, did you enjoy the style?
It was entertaining in a way.
Do you prefer this style match to like just this normal one-on-one or tag team?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Get to see all the good-looking guys.
Oh, boy. She gets that at home, too.
Well, on that note, any closing notes, Roger, any other questions you have for Katie on the Rumble match?
Nope. I think she answered all of them with that statement right there.
Yes. So. Bart Gunn. Next year's the year for Bart.
Well, there's a bum. He's kind of a bum that was in the Rumble match there, Justin. Bart Gunn.
That's my true. Bart Gunn.
My new least favorite wrestler.
But they were quick, though.
Bart Gunn, Fake Razor. Yeah, there were a few, but I feel like they were less than normal. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they were there for Austin to throw out right away and look strong and get the crowd behind them. So I thought they used them well. All right, great. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to wrap the Rumble up by taking a look at the main event, Shawn Michaels and Psycho Sid. So we'll be back right after this.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from PlaceToBeNation's main event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's main event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcasts? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant.
Sorry.
The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport Podcast. Available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the big four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on placetobenation.com.
In Rhode Island, and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
All right, we're back with our Place to Be Nation Royal Rumble Rewind of 1997, and we just finished watching the Rumble match itself, and we are going to take a look now at the main event, Shawn Michaels versus Psycho Sid for the WWF title. Real quick again, I have Jordan Duncan on the line with me, the cowboy Roger Morissette, his lovely wife, the cowgirl, Katie, and Justin Rosero, of course. So, Justin, why don't you set us up here? We'll talk about the timestamp we're going with is 2:29:40. And so let's count down, actually, and we'll start that, and then we'll kind of set things up for the listeners here on kind of why this match is happening and why Shawn is a plucky good guy again and all that good stuff. So 3, 2, 1. So again, 2:29:40. This is with Sid's got his big lighting entrance here.
Yeah,
Justin,
so
go ahead.
Sid's a world champion. He had beaten Shawn Michaels at Survivor Series in Madison Square Garden, where it ended Shawn's great run as champion. We had a ton of great in-ring matches, but the crowd had turned on him because they were kind of tired of his really, really kind of milquetoasty face run. And so the MSG crowd is known to be assholes. All turned on Shawn. They all cheered for Sid and were booing Shawn throughout the whole match. Shawn had some edge after that, was kind of being mouthy and kind of being a dick, and it seemed like they were going to try and turn him a little bit or at least make him a little more gray. But with this show being in San Antonio, they wanted to sell 70,000 seats. They reversed course and made him kind of just the same. He had better 96, very, very basic face, white meat kind of baby face here for the hometown crowd. So the other note is that he had a really bad case of the flu heading into this match here, so... he's very sick going against Sid. So it was a rarity where Sid was going to maybe have to carry him through a match, which is not his specialty.
So Sid sort of exemplifies like the big like guy that Vince McMahon loves.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And the fans, too. Sid always had this weird charisma where even though he wasn't that great in the ring, and no matter how they booked him, he always was just like loved by fans.
People just dig him. Yeah.
Yeah. Even in ECW, when even his WCW runs when he was a heel or whatnot, they'd still cheer him. So
the only time he was really ever they got behind him as a heel was that 95 where he was kind of a pussy with DiBiase. That was the only time that no one was really into him.
Yeah.
And he was having really bad matches.
But he is he's a big guy. I mean, he is a big dude.
Huh? He was just flaky. I mean, I think he would have been an even bigger star. But he, and Roger, if you noticed in the crowd there is the guy we reference a lot in our Raw rewatches and the fans, Vladimir, the guy with the, always wears the tank top with the glasses.
Vladimir's still around, huh?
Yeah, he's over to the right. And he's got the Faith No More guy we mentioned before, too. Looks like the singer of that band. He's got the BWO shirt on.
Maybe Wade Boggs, too. We don't know. Wade
Boggs. I mean, those guys are lifers, huh? I mean, jeepers.
Yeah, they're in the corner. I'll see if they go over here.
Now, it's also worth pointing out that Jose Lothario is out with Shawn Michaels. Despite suffering, of course, he got hit in the Survivor Series match, but didn't he also, was that a heart attack, Justin?
In the match, yeah, he got hit with a camera in the chest, and he was, like, clutching his chest.
Right.
And then Sid beat up his son, Pete.
Isn't that cowboy over there to the left, that son? Isn't that his son?
Pete Lothario? It may have been. Yeah. Oh, where, in the crowd?
Yeah.
The one
maybe
that
Maybe I just... It could be. He had blue and a... yuck.
That was an ugly move, huh?
Yeah, Pete got powerbombed on a table by Sid.
Yeah,
that's Pete
right there. Yeah, that's Pete.
I like the cowboy hat. You like that, cowgirl?
Oh, yeah. You know
it. That's a cowboy hat here.
I want to know what doctor cleared Jose Lothario to be ringside for a match against Sid a mere months after having a...
Well, I don't know. Did they ever confirm it was a heart attack?
Just listen to CM Punk on Colt Cabana's podcast. You'll see those doctors will clear anybody.
Get back out there, Jose. You know, even 70-year-old men, he had to...
There's a nice elderly couple to the left that are just not paying attention at all in the very first row. They're just watching the announcers, standing right next to Jose there. Now they finally turn their attention to the ring. Just clearly are not wrestling fans.
Maybe they were only there for the hearts.
Pete has a hell of a vest on. So Sid pretty much has been working the back and carrying this match here.
And I'm pretty sure Jim Ross just mentioned there that Sean was battling something. I thought he mentioned the flu because he was saying that Sean didn't have the energy he normally would.
Big butt drop by Sid got Katie's attention here.
Yep.
Yeah. Katie, what are your thoughts on Sid?
Which one is Sid again?
The one who's not Shawn Michaels.
The big one, yeah.
Big one? I'm paying more attention to the other guy, to be honest.
The guy getting his ass kicked?
I think he's just a lot better looking. But the big guy, yeah.
But well, just, not just like, I mean, Shawn Michaels is a great looking guy. You know, I think we're all in agreement on that. But what about like... As a wrestler, hun, or you know, is he intimidating to you? Would you want to fight him? Do you think he just looks like a
would
big?
Would I personally fight him? No, I would not.
Whose hair do you
like his blonde perm?
Yeah, I was gonna say, whose hair do you like better?
He's a big guy. I mean, I've never seen him fight before. Ooh,
we have to play some sleaze thread, true or false, with Katie someday on one of these episodes.
What's that?
Avid listener of the Kevin Kelly Show.
Yeah, Roger, say, yeah, right? Let's not pull the curtain back, okay, bud? we've done some of that on the Kevin Kelly Show.
Who's Scott Criscolla?
Yeah.
God, even Will fucking at least sells the shit.
But Katie, to your fondness of Shawn Michaels, see, again, playing into Vince McMahon in 96, you know, Shawn had his click. You know, the females liked him a lot. That's what they were pushing and going with. And you're right in their wheelhouse, so.
Oh, yeah. Why is he holding him there, though?
He's going to give grab something.
Yeah, but I mean.
I know. Poor Shawn.
Make the ladies jealous, I guess. He's trying to be the bad guy.
Sid's really just dominated this match, like we had predicted, because of the flu. He's had to carry Shawn, so he's pretty much just beat
on. Shawn's still pinballing around pretty good, though. He had those opening back roles. And
well, do you feel like Sid's actually doing a good job here, like really pacing the match? I feel like he is.
Yeah.
I don't think it's suffered severely, you know? I guess is my point.
No, it's not. It's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite a few chin locks so far, but, you know, it works with the big guy.
Even on the chin lock, he's got the knee in the back, you know, so it's clear that Sean's back is what he's targeting, because the power bomb will hurt that back even more if he can manage to hit it. So,
Jose,
this is some technical jargon for you, Katie.
Yeah, it was very good, Jordan. Very good. Jose cheering his man on by telling him to put his arm up in the air when he was trying to submit
him. Nice clothesline there too, by the way.
It was a good one.
I do enjoy the old school Spurs colors that highlight the upper balcony. You guys have noticed that the pastels,
the pastel pink and green.
Well, Roger, if you want me to get away from the technical side of it, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much would you love it if for a birthday or a wedding anniversary gift, Katie got you like these giant letters that said Raj for whenever you entered the room, like Sid.
Do I have to answer that honestly? Because that would be like a 9. But that's just my personality. I guess the right answer is I wouldn't like that at all. But it would be cool, hon.
You would totally love it.
Just your name and pyrotechnics, that'd be pretty cool.
It would have to be cowboy, though.
Yeah, cowboy.
And it would have to be a specific room in the house. Not the probably not the living room. And that would do it for me. So Sean, Katie, was the guy whose music you've heard in the car before. Sexy Boy.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Do you think it's a fitting song?
Yes.
Now he's...
Would you say
he's
Sean's
dancing actually right now, yeah.
Past his physical prime here, right? I mean, he's a little bit older.
Yeah, I like him older, though, you know?
She's a Pete Lothario girl. Oh, is that Sean's parents?
Oh, is that Sean's parents?
Yeah,
I
think so. I think so.
Well, earlier they were not at all concerned with the fact that their son was being pummeled. They were much more interested in something else.
Sean is from San Antonio.
To your future
Roger,
in-laws,
is...
Katie.
Hi, Mom.
I mean, she's no Helen Hart, but she's, you know, okay.
No.
But look, I mean, the other older folks next to him have to be like their... the uncles or something who, like, really don't give a shit.
They probably... I don't remember them in the Rumble match. Maybe they papered him... Maybe they brought him in just for the main...
There's a guy in purple that's to the right of Sean's leg now that looks just like Bob Kraft, too. You see him?
So a long bear hug. And Sean's starting to come back now. I mean, you could tell that he's working hard, but you could tell he's not the usual ball energy. I mean, we've had the flu. I know we've all had it recently. Like, could you even imagine wrestling a match and getting thrown all around and not throwing up?
No.
I couldn't even imagine leaving the house.
Right.
Is that Bob Kraft? I'm telling you, it looks just like him.
If he's from Boston, he's probably with Wade Boggs. I'm telling you.
It's all coming together, Jordan.
Yep, well,
had he purchased? When did he buy the Pats? Like 96, 95?
Yeah, right around this time. I mean, you never know. I mean, he could be. I mean, that's where
there's
he'd be
Scott sitting.
Well, have
Jersey.
They been talking about moving the Pats? Maybe he was down there for some meetings, talking about moving him to San Antonio.
Decided to take in the Royal Rumble.
As a nice looking leg drop by Sid.
Yeah, Sid does all the power stuff, I think, pretty well. Does he have a bad rap as being like a crappy wrestler?
Yeah, but I will say this. This is probably the one run he gets credit, like a lot of love for, is this 96, 97 stuff where I think he had put a lot of it together and kind of learned how to do these kind of matches, whereas in the early 90s is when I think he earned a lot of his negative run.
I always thought where he was at his weakest was his punches. I always thought his punches looked really, really bad because he'd like cock his fist back really far like cartoony and like punch guys in the chest rather than in the face, you know? Which I don't think he's actually thrown any punches in this match, though. He's more clubbing.
Yeah, Sean
with the
nip up.
Pretty good. Yeah.
crowd's into it now for his comeback here. So they've been into him. I mean, one of the knocks on this crowd's always been that they're a little quiet for being a huge crowd. But
now here comes his finishing move. It's called Sweet Chin Music. He kicks you in the face.
Sean looks miserable there.
Yeah, he looks completely out of it.
Wow.
He's still there.
And he does still not win the Royal Rumble. Nope.
No, he is. He's clearly fighting through it.
Sid in his infinite wisdom.
There's a power.
Although he hit it. Champion, he hits it, yeah.
Yeah, right, Brad. He's a champion here. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he can...
Going after Jose again. And Pete.
Now, Pete should be thrown out of the building here, obviously. Yeah. I mean, you cannot...
He should be arrested.
So he had he powerbombed Sean on the floor at Survivor Series too, right? Was that, or no? Was it just in the ring? I forget.
I don't remember.
I don't remember, but I'll tell you what.
Ref down.
Ref's dead. Get in there, Pete. Now's your chance.
Hey, Pete's nice going back to his seat. Too. So there's your visual pinfall.
That's not Wade Boggs. He's standing up now. Clearly not Wade Boggs.
He looks like a smaller version of that really tall guy from Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, you know, I believe your ball struck my foot.
Him, yeah, who I believe he's. Yeah. That guy just passed away. Rest in peace. But he kind of looks like him.
The guy that right, that was nothing like Wade Boggs.
Maybe that's not who I was thinking of. Maybe
he's got a mustache.
I think that's Walt Boggs. Wade's brother. Oh, there's a Sid punch. Terrible.
Both refs are down.
So we thought we were going to the finish here, but the both refs now down. And Jose's back on the ring apron having learned nothing.
Now this is a callback because, like we said, at Survivor Series, Sid used the camera to hit Sean and Jose Lothario. So now Sean gets his revenge.
That's pretty brutal.
Dean Ambrose obviously did not watch the video of that because he could not use the TV similar to the camera.
So by the way, Robert Kraft purchased the Patriots in 1994.
Okay. So right, right around when Parcells went there.
Mm-hmm.
And Sid survives. Who do you think's going to win this, Katie, down the final moments here?
Seriously? probably not my guy, even though he's doing better now.
So she's going Sid. Oh, that might do it.
He caught him good, too. That was a good one.
Yeah, it was a good one.
He's not getting up.
Wait, Heavner's so dramatic with this.
I know, right?
Yeah.
There he is.
Michaels wins. Katie's picks have been the mush. As soon as she picked Vader, he was immediately eliminated. And, man, the sweet chin. They couldn't have Sean lose in his hometown, right?
I mean, that would be. Not he's got Texas event, on his. On his wristbands there.
So he won back the title right there.
Correct. All
right,
let's get out of here. Come on.
Come on. It's way past her. Well, his mom won't even stand up. That's a shame. But
she's got a bad hip.
Maybe she does. You know, I shouldn't judge. That was. I apologize to Shawn Michaels' mother. There could be a myriad of reasons
Jose's
why she's
pumped
not standing.
Up. Man, he is fired up, Jose Lothario. So what do we think of that match? I think it was pretty good for a guy with the flu and a guy... Most say he can't wrestle.
It was fun.
I thought that, you know, I mean, with Sid as the champ, you know, he can work on top and work the back, like you said. All the rest moves worked into it, and Sean had his little hoop spots to come back, and then he, they booked Sid pretty strong in the end, too, with all that, and brought the refs into it to kind of keep the crowd juiced, so it was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, agree. I think it falls in line with most of the show. I mean, there's some boring spots, but the Rumble in this match, to me, pretty much fall right down the middle. Three and a half-ish area.
Pete Lothario is a chump, though.
he's a loser.
He should be arrested and thrown out for crimes against fashion as well.
I want to find out what happened to Pete Lothario. Like, where did he go from here?
Yeah, good question.
Brightus back to his ranch.
He doesn't have a Wikipedia page, so
I guess he owns a ranch.
He probably watches this all the time. He's going to listen to this and be really excited that someone's talking about him.
Well, Pete, if you're listening, call in. We'll have you on any time.
Yeah.
Roger, because hey, what a chump you are. Or Jordan, whoever said it.
That's one of us.
Sorry, I missed that. The cowgirl was having a coughing fit, so I couldn't hear.
Oh, he's throwing her under the bus. This is Vladimir.
Yeah, Vladimir. We love Vladimir.
So this is our Menzo.
Pete Lothario had two career matches, and I'm not going to make you guess the promotions. On just a few short months after this, on March 10th, 1997, in a 3-on-2 handicap match, the Dogs of War defeated Manny Villalobos, Pete Lothario, and Terry Garvin. So actually the two guys beat the three guys. That was the CWA, the Sportatorium in Dallas, Texas. And then 2 months, he spent 2 years training and then teamed up with Sho Funaki to defeat Chief Batu and Chief Thunderwolf in TWA in San Antonio in 1999.
And that was Shawn Michaels' promotion.
That was TWA with Shawn's.
Yeah. So he gave back and Pete had another match. And so that is the career of Pete. He ended on a winning note, though, so good for him, right? How many guys get to go out on top like that?
Oh, is this Mama Jamma? He's supposed to be all his family or something. Or just excited fans.
I think he thought that one guy was Phil Collins, and now he feels stupid, so he's just going to hug everyone.
This guy's just like, stroking his butt. What the hell is he doing, this guy? Dude, he's getting on the action.
It's quite a cradle.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Vince,
you gotta do what you gotta do.
Well, yes. We know Katie would have been
cowgirl really living vicariously through that man right now.
Oh, now he's gyrating at Vince.
He just rubbed his ass on Vince's shoulder. Thanks, boss.
Yeah. Should point out again the custom tights tonight for Sean with the Texas state of Texas on the back instead of the heart.
Mm-hmm. I think we missed an opportunity with Jose not having the bolo tie instead of just a regular tie on, though. Mm. I mean, we're in Texas. Come on. Look at these freaking guys. So replay city here, Brad. That's about it, though.
Yeah, that is it.
Good show. Good show, guys. That was fun.
Great. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining. Anybody with any closing thoughts? Good, great, Katie. Thanks for what did you think of this whole thing?
Sorry, I was coughing again.
Oh, we were waiting for you to go in. You know, on the crib notes, you were going to speak first here. So, would you be willing to join a live watch again?
I would definitely.
Okay, there we go. Mission accomplished. You're very welcome. All right, guys. Well, you know,
there's Vladimir, right?
Yeah. Yep. There's Vlad.
What? All right. Then, so.
Well.
For Roger, Jordan, Justin, Katie, and myself, thank you for listening. And keep checking out Place to Be Nation. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Keep checking out Bart Gunn, too, ladies.
Yeah, that's right. Boom.
And Wade Boggs.
Down there, spy. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy. I'm just a sexy boy. I make them hot, I make them shiver, their knees get weak, whenever I'm around. They see me walk, they hear me talk, I make them feel like they're on cloud nine. I'm just a sexy boy, I'm not your boy toy, I'm just a sexy boy. Not your boy toy. Eat your heart out, girl. Hands off the merchandise. Just a sexy boy.
I make them hot. I make them shiver. Their knees get weak. Whenever I'm around, they see me walk. They hear me talk. I make them feel like they're on cloud nine. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy. Eat your heart out, girls. Hands off the merchandise. Sexy boy, I'm not your boy toy. I'm just a sexy boy.